Hi, this is Sid Mandelbaum with Rock and Wrap It Up. We're going to be honoring the New York Mets and Aramark on April 23rd at Citi Field for their donation of food for the past 9 years. Over 100,000 meals have gone to feed the hungry of New York. Information is available on rockandwrapitup.org. D-Box Radio.
Hi, I'm Maxine Margot Rubin, and this is the Many Shades of Green, our program about environmental sustainability and social issues here on Bebox Radio in Dumbo, Brooklyn, and on the net at beboxradio.com. The Many Shades of Green delves into topics that affect the environment in Brooklyn and beyond. There are many variations or shades of environmental and social consciousness which affect what actions we take to protect the planet. Whether you decide to change a bulb to a CFL, call it light green, or help protect the coral reefs, call it sea green, individual actions can add up to positive change. Our guest this week on the Many Shades of Green is Rand Weeks, senior partner of Alternative Energy Design Associates. Rand is an electrical and mechanical design engineer who is working to preserve coral reefs by employing a technology called BioRock. He is also promoting the award-winning documentary film Shell Shocked, which explores the topic of oyster reefs and the importance of their survival. The motto is saving oysters to save ourselves. We will discuss how electrical stimulation is being employed to restore damaged ecosystems. So, welcome, Rand. How you doing?
I'm well today, Maxine. How are you?
We're doing okay on this crazy day here. A day of another extreme weather that keeps floating around.
Well, like they say about New York weather, if it's too hot for you today, tomorrow, probably be 20 degrees outside again. And that's really normal for New York, actually.
Is it?
You think it's global warming, but this has been happening as long as I can remember.
Really? I can't.
Vast fluctuations in temperatures in New York City are normal. What's not normal are the size of the storms that have been hitting New York City. But anyway, another topic.
This is very true. I know we're here in Dumbo, and I know you have a little bit of stuff you did in this general area. Can you just give us a little quick thing about what project you worked on that's so close, literally, to us here?
Well, I've been working in oysters in New York since about 2009. Initially, I was hired as a design consultant and a designer for the Harbor School. I designed a solar power system that operated, powered a dock that grew incubational oysters. It still does grow. And we're working on a redesign, but it hasn't been funded yet, to restore the oyster into New York Harbor. Oysters are very important. You should read The Big Oyster by Mark Kulansky. It's a book which describes the history of oysters, especially in New York City. Oysters are very important for clean water because they finish the jobs that the new, since 1988, sewage treatment plants have been working on to keep raw sewage out of the water. Oysters help clean the water, and we're putting them back not to eat or to be farmed, but as a restoration of an ecosystem. They are also what is called a keystone species in that they form reefs with their shells, which attract and support many other types of critter in the water.
So they have a limit to, you just said fishing, is there any particular regulation that stops when you're doing those, forming those reefs and working on those projects, that they prohibit people from trying to get them to eat?
Yes, these are not to be poached.
Okay.
There is a law against it, and you will be fined.
You will be fined.
Even worse, you might catch a disease, but we won't want to talk about that, because one of the reasons oysters have been vilified in the past is that the diseases that they filtered out of the water, namely one of them, cholera, caused illness outbreaks when people tried to poach them in the late 19th century. But the critter were not banned. They died due to over contamination of the water. Now we've restored the water to a certain extent where we can hope to restore the oyster.
Is this where? Is this in New York Harbor? Is this in Jamaica? I mean, where exactly Is this everywhere in the waterways around New York?
Well, it's everywhere to a certain extent. There are reefs now in Jamaica Bay. There's one in near Governor's Island. They have put oysters near a site, another site where I'm working in specific, in Flushing Bay near Rikers Island. But my association with the Harbor School led me to an association with an artist who had created a sculpture in Queens to explore the application of bio-rock to oyster regrowth.
Who's this artist?
Her name is Mara Hasseltine. You can go and see her work at www.calamara.com, C-A-L-A-Mara.com. Very interesting artist, very large-scale sculptures.
How does she connect that? The oyster and the bio-rock into sculpture.
She felt quite a familial energy around oysters because her mother was family was in oyster farming in Japan, and she went to study on a whim. She went to study coral reefs and met another gentleman whom I work with now very specifically called Thomas Goreau, who is the chief of the Global Coral Reef Alliance. Globalcoral.org, and Thomas was interested and still is in helping restore oyster to extremely contaminated habitats. And so our site in Queens now, which I manage with a gentleman named Dr. James Servino of...
Where in Queens?
McNeil Park, that's in College Point in Queens. It is, what we're doing now is applying electrolytic fields, very slight electricity in the water, low voltage DC, low amperage, low current in a controlled area to help with the electrodisposition of minerals, namely calcium carbonate, the stuff that oyster shells are made of. Initially, it was thought that process would help oysters and attract oysters to grow. We have found in the last few years, as I've helped stabilize the experiment, which my main talent coming into this was marine connections, electrical connections. And I brought
electric eels? You just took that
from
the eels and brought it to the...
Although I did dive in a creek in Stony Brook Harbor amongst many, many eels with another gentleman who's now left our earth, to whom I owe a lot of my interest in marine biology. Mm-hmm. But Dr. Erwin Ernst, Dr. Ernie's son's still out there somewhere, and blessings to you. Your father was very, very important to a number of different people, and his work in the high school education conservation center in West Meadow. Mm-hmm. I had honed my marine skills helping to design and install an electrical system for a sailing craft that went for the longest time ever in human history, nonstop, non-resupply, and scaringly enough to me, without being fixed by a real technician.
Was that a connection?
It went 1,152 days nonstop, which is a long time for electrical connections on the water. So I was very confident in my abilities.
Wow.
And others were too. And since then, I have expanded those abilities and grown as one can if one decides to go green.
Mm-hmm.
You
we
can
like
find
green.
Talents you didn't think you ever had.
Really?
Although
you had those talents. Come on.
Well, most of the stuff we're doing over there isn't really rocket science. It's marine science.
Marine science.
Yeah, yeah. That's a little different.
No it's jet fuel, just wetter. Electric currents or something.
Oh, well, there's jet fuel in the water, and there's a lot of carbon in the water. And carbon raises, what our process does really is electrolysis. It raises the pH of the water. We found that the oyster really don't collect on the cathodes as we expected, which is probably a good thing, because I'd rather they weren't in the electric field. And it's a very small electric field. But as the water passes through it in other areas, when we use it in coral, we found fish and all kinds of other intermittent critter love the slight electrolytic field.
What does that do, and why would they love it? I mean, would it not shock
them?
They
get a charge out of it, but it's a very slight charge.
They get a charge out of it.
It's a tingly slight charge, and you really have to
fish
touch.
Fish like to be tingled.
You really have to contact both the cathode and the anode to feel it as a human. Although, if you were
how do the fish feel just through the current in the water? Or?
Well, they like it. They especially like it because the water's cleaner.
Uh-huh.
It takes out heavy metal. It takes out a lot of carbon from the water.
Right.
Calcifies it as calcium carbonate on the cathode.
How's the carbon getting there in the first place? That's a long story.
Your cars, your planes. As a good friend of mine is a child always used to say, his parents would say to him, "You and your," and then they'd list a long, you know,
litany of things.
Yeah,
right? What did you do?
Complaints. You. Yeah. Well, it's you and your cars and your airplanes.
Right.
Many other sources of air pollution in Queens.
Well, it's also sewage and people just, you know, throw things
in. Queens, there's battery acid too, because it used to be a very large industrial area. It still is, that mm-hmm. manufactured all kinds of auto-related things, including chrome bumpers. And so there's chromium, and there's battery acid in the water to a certain extent there as well too.
Battery acid, just something we all know and love, but since we all like to juice up.
No more battery acid. No. Sealed batteries for everybody.
Sealed batteries now is
sealed gel mats or lithium batteries, please.
Well, we're going to pick up on the batteries and other things as we talk to Rand Weeks. You're listening to The Many Shades of Green on B-Box Radio. B-Box Radio. And we're back with Rand Weeks, who's working on various projects, helping save the coral reefs, working with BioRock, and working with levels of acid and how we are using electricity and trying to work acidification. Can you explain that in the water and how it works?
Yes, we're hoping that, and we've recently published on the findings of 2 years' worth of research last December 3rd or December 4th, we're hoping, and we've been approached by a number of different people too, that we can use this process to help various areas, seashore areas, recover from large amounts of pollution and ocean acidification, which is caused by more carbon in the water. The stuff of acid rain, well, it's acid ocean too. Carbon doesn't go away. It stays around. It gets sunk in places, and then it re-aerates and comes back in other spots. So basically, the process that we use in a very small areas has improved larger areas of the shoreline. And we found that not only fauna are attracted to and do well in this environment, so do things like spartina, fauna, grass, seagrass. Which helps clean the water as well too. Spartina is the stuff that you find on top of sand dunes to a large extent. Spartina alterniflora is something that we're experimenting with in Queens. So I hope to, if we can get the proper funding, help restore estuary shorelines in very damaged areas like Flushing River, near Shea Stadium, where there are a lot of car garbage yards and old car yards. And the Flushing River is scary.
Flushing River? I didn't even realize there was a... I mean, I know Jamaica Bay, but...
Well, they don't call it Flushing Bay for nothing.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, all of New York Harbor was once flooded, and still is to a certain extent, Flushing Bay. Every time it rains, those sewage treatment plants are overwhelmed with storm water, sewer water, and dump a certain amount of sewage into the water.
That's happened in Gowanus a lot, which is why Greenpoint is, you know.
About a year or two ago, we had a huge plant fire, one of those sewage treatment plants in the Hudson River, that's helped spew human waste into the water for almost 2 weeks, I think.
Yeah, I remember that.
I remember exactly how long it was. Yeah, it was in the news.
I remember. Yeah, it was not. It was not pretty on many levels. Thinking about what actually was going into the water, and it's something that happens too much, actually. So.
Well, and if I could get back to estuaries to a certain extent, estuaries are very important. We had a big storm surge. One of the big problems in New York City, and why we were very vulnerable to that storm surge, is the fact that we have paved over all our estuaries. New York used to be one huge estuary. All of southern Manhattan, before they filled it in, used to be pretty much an estuary. And that means that what an estuary is a buffer in between the land and the sea, where grass grows, and you have certain swamp areas in some ways, salt marsh, a lot of critters grow there. But much more importantly, it controls the encroachment in modern times of water on the shoreline. Now, there's been some conversation lately about oyster reefs and the ability to hold back storm surges. Serious conversation. So that's part of the conversation.
Well, they want to build walls, so now one would think maybe natural
ways are
a way to go.
I'd love to see grass restored in some areas. It's not practical in every area, but there are certain spots, especially down off of the Battery area, where there you could conceivably create marsh. And what happens when you plant grass is you get more dirt, because it controls erosion. It also controls runoff from the land, which we call eutrophication, extra nitrogen from fertilizer, commercial fertilizer, grass, and that kind of thing. And it controls and helps buffer sea contamination as well, too. As well being a habitat for many, 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 many
species,
critter,
right.
Fauna and flora that are not here anymore, or don't come or don't stay. It's also a very beautiful thing. You know, I mean, I grew up on an estuary. Those are some of the most beautiful areas in the world, the intertidal zones.
Right.
You know,
I know that the storm surges were unparalleled, you know, in that superstorm. And and it's going to happen again. And what can you and marine biologists and marine engineers offer as something that could help, aside from
stop driving your car? Yeah, that's the first thing. Slow down on the car. Get yourself a bike. You wanna save the world. Stop driving your car.
Okay.
60% of the time, you know, you don't need it. Even if you live in the worst suburban area, you should get on a bike anyway. It'll keep you young. It'll help you grow old.
Well, we want to grow old into somewhere.
That'd be the first thing. What we can do is we can try to promote understanding of and apply certain sciences that we have in different areas to not only to help the shorelines, help create natural barriers for flood and surge and pollution as well, too. It's all a positive thing. We call it geotherapy.
Geotherapy?
Yeah, that's when you apply certain sciences to recover natural habitats, specifically to help heal the effects of humankind's waste and irresponsibility.
Yeah, we're doing a fine job of wrecking things, aren't we? We have to start moving in a direction where we're helping, not hurrying.
Well, yeah, for the last 250 years, we've been bad. With the amount of coal that we've burned in the last 250 years is scary. We were not kind to animals before that, or the environment before that, but we've been doing a real bad job with pollution and overbuilding. And now we're trying to figure out how to fix that.
Because there's no balance. The balance is off. I mean, everyone's screaming they're afraid of the coyotes that are coming in closer and closer and closer, and the birds, you know. But we've gotten rid of a lot of things that they need to survive, so they're coming in closer.
Well,
I mean, obviously,
idea that there are coyotes and they're coming to the cities to eat means there aren't enough restaurants where they live.
Right, exactly. That's
it. It should be on one hand, to see coyotes in general, it should be an amazing thing, because it means that the coyote was actually at one point in time almost an endangered species.
Right.
Now you see more of them, and it's a shame they have to come all the way to the States or the cities. Well, it's mostly probably because we're killing the deer.
Right, exactly.
Because we don't like the deer either.
Exactly. That's the other issue.
We don't like anything that encroaches on our land.
But the deer were there first, and so were the coyotes, so...
Right.
You know, isn't there...
Well, we all evolved at the same time, but we've all of a sudden, in the last few hundred years or so, we decided we're the only people around.
Right.
We won't actually do anything to change that until we're almost the only people around, and that's the sad thing about humankind.
Right.
We just don't do anything until there is a crisis.
That's the reactive nature of us humans. Instead of being proactive, we just... You know, react to things that happen that are bad.
Yeah,
instead of preventing, you know, it in the first place. So
and I want to have this opportunity now that I've given myself my own segue.
Okay.
To be extremely glib and say, if you really want to do something, go to globalcoral.org and write a check.
Okay.
Write a check for every minute you drove last week. $1 for a minute. Figure out how many minutes you drove last week, or in the month, or over a year.
What is that going to do if we don't?
Or a mile. Look at your odometer. What will that do? That will support the restoration of coral reefs and oyster reefs.
Why do we need to do that?
Because they are the ecosystems of the sea.
Okay.
Coral reefs are where fish go to survive in an open sea. Without them, you will see many more species of sea critter disappear, and coral reefs are disappearing at a very, very, very fast rate. We're losing somewhere between 1% per coral per year, I think is the right figure, although I should be corrected. And I could be corrected. And we are now at about 40% of the amount of reefs that we had 50 years ago. Which is an extreme, due to ocean acidification, bleaching the coral reefs right out, carbon dioxide for your car. So for every mile that you drive, you should donate $1 to the 501c3 called globalcoral.org. Go to the website, figure out who to write the check to, it's Global Coral Reef Association, and please, that money will help, it'll help keep me in a job for a year, which is a good thing, but it'll also help restore, help many other people, many other scientists around the world. If you do get a chance, you can buy or peruse the book that we were published in, describing a lot of the coral and oyster restorations via electrolysis. That book called Concepts of Marine System Restoration, I believe, is the title. It's a CRC Press book, and you can find a link for that on the globalcoral.org site as well, too. But that's the most important thing to do, other than stop driving your car as much if you can, to help yourself and help the rest of the world, is to donate money to people that need that money to complete the work that we do.
This is worldwide? It's not just New York?
It's worldwide. We've had offers from France to come and work in estuaries. I've entertained an offer from Washington State to help work with a commercial fishery that's very interested in this process.
There's a lot of overfishing. Does that have any correlation to that as well, or is it just purely what we're dumping into the ocean?
Well, it certainly doesn't help. Overfishing also destroys fish species quickly, too. The thing that Japan is doing with dolphins is just atrocious. What happens is, if you do away with the reefs where these fish congregate, they won't have their own proper natural shelter, or as much of it as they should have. And if you're overfishing them, you're basically, you know, chewing the candle at both ends. And if you do away with reefs, there are a lot of people who are natives who get their food from that area,
right?
From reefs.
So there's a lot of problems.
Because otherwise, they don't see the fish. You know.
That's true. Well, we have to help the coral reefs because they are disappearing.
And the oyster reefs.
And I know there was a documentary done, an award-winning documentary called Shell Shocked. Saving oysters to save ourselves seems to be their slogan there. Can you just give us a quick
Yes, a very bright young filmmaker named Emily Driscoll completed a movie a few years back, which I am in, as well as many other people who were involved in the oyster work in New York City and elsewhere, entitled Shell Shocked. It's playing tonight, if you get a chance, at the Princeton Ecological Film Festival, I believe, in Princeton, New Jersey. And it is an hour and a half long movie describing why the oyster is important and what we're trying to do to restore it.
Where is there a place to, a website that you know of that we
can visit? Yes, you can Google Shell Shocked the movie, and there's a website which I can't remember. It may be shellshocked.com.
Okay.
That will tell you where to see it. I've got a copy of it. We may be planning a fundraiser for oyster work in New York in general. Another one.
Mm-hmm.
We had a premiere last fall in October.
Okay.
At the Waterfront Museum.
All right. So where can people get information about, you know, BioRock process, coral reefs? I know you've given us some information
already. BioRock.org, GlobalCoral.org, BioRock.net, excuse me, GlobalCoral.org. I'll try to put those on my website,
which is what?
Which is AED.
Alternative energy design.
Oh well, you know,
alternative energy designs.
Well, we will find a way to get everybody the information they want. I think the first thing to do is go to globalcoral.org, and there you will find many papers of describing research that's being done all over the world in various systems as far away as Norway and the Netherlands and Bali, and Indonesia, and as well as here in New York City.
Great. Well, thank you so much for dropping in and for giving us some information and education. It's so important that people know that the oysters and coral reefs have to be protected, and commend you for doing great work in that area. So thanks for coming by.
Well, it was a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me. Maybe we'll come back again sometime.
Come back and give us some updates. So we've been talking with Ran Weeks, senior partner at Alternative Energy Designs. He is an electrical and design engineer who is working to preserve oyster and coral reefs through the process of electrical stimulation via the technology of BioRock. Almost sounds like a rock group, but it's really important stuff. We can all help support the work that Rand does by setting up events to view the documentary Shell Shocked and by visiting the website globalcoral.org. We must work to conserve and protect the oceans, rivers, lakes, and the marine life within, as well as all natural resources. Future generations deserve nothing less. So thanks for joining us for the Many Shades of Green, our program that connects the environment, community, culture, and the arts in Brooklyn and beyond. Listen to the show on your smartphone, tablet, laptop, or desktop, or by going to our site, bboxradio.com. We encourage you to come visit us at the B-Box in Dumbo, Brooklyn. Check us out at TM Shades of Green on Twitter and Facebook. I'm Maxine Margaret Rubin, reminding you to be gentle with the earth, and please join us again next time.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. I let in love what I thought it was funny. You came along and moved me, honey. I've changed my mind, this love is fine. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. Kisses the baby. Feels good. Hold me, baby. Well, I want to love you like I love a should. You're fine, so kind. Got to tell this world that you're mine. I chew my nails and then I twiddle my thumb. I'm real nervous, but it sure is fun. Come on, baby. It drives me crazy. It's just great balls of fire. Hold me, baby. Well, I want to love you like I love a should. You're fine. so kind. Got to tell this world that you might eat it. You might let him have that twiddle my thumb. Real nervous, so bloody show is fun. Come on, baby, drive crazy. Goodness gracious, this is great balls of fire.
You're listening to BeboxRadio.com.